knowledge fire. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan! Quick question.
What's
for
up?
You. What's your bright spot today?
Well, interestingly, Jordan, we
yes,
had
sir.
A wild storm.
We did.
Yesterday,
we did.
Monday,
yes.
As we're recording this. You know, Chicago's a really interesting place. You're a little bit south of me, and were telling me almost nothing.
Almost. I mean, aside from the debris all over the place, our place did not get bothered at all.
Well, you were also saying that, like, you just saw a little bit of rain.
Oh, no. I saw the rain line.
Yeah.
So, like,
but it was a little ways away from
you. Yeah, no, maybe 200 feet away, I could see terrifying pouring rain, and I was completely dry. It was bananas.
And then, meanwhile, up at my place,
you got fucked up.
Well, I'm very lucky compared to, you know, you see some pictures of, like, downed trees and
totally.
What have you, but, like, my lights were flickering, and the tree out in front of my place was definitely bending, much more than you expect a tree to do.
Sure.
It was pretty scary, and the only thing that really was going through my head was like, okay, I'm from central Missouri. I've had a lot of tornado experience.
Yeah.
I know what to do. I can find some place, even if I, you know, live on a top floor. I don't have a basement.
No, we were raised rural in Tornado Alley. We got the game.
I can still figure some stuff out, but I'm like, I don't know what to do with with Celine. Like, it really worried me what to do with her. Thankfully, nothing ended up happening, and everything was all right here. But the bright spot is that as I was wandering around my house, I noticed that I haven't even mentioned this. To you I have, but not on the show.
Okay.
As part of like my growing tons of plants, I have also embarked on trying to grow some bonsais from seeds.
Yes, that's true.
Which is a ridiculously long process.
Yes, that's true.
And I had kind of figured that I'd completely fucked it up because it's just like all it is you see dirt there. You don't
see
anything.
Yeah.
It's been weeks.
No, I look forward to seeing your beauty in 20 years.
Got a little bit of green poking up. Saw that after the storm.
The new day has dawned.
Yes. Like that Nelson song, After the Rain Washes Away.
Did God also show you a rainbow and promise never to break the covenant in the future?
So in the form of a tiny little thing of a bonsai popping out. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So we got some bonsais coming.
Yeah.
Old Mantis house phone, bonsai. This place is going to be a mess.
It's growing into something beautiful.
Yeah. How about you?
You're going to make fun of me because
I probably will.
This is commerce related, but newly minted Raptor Princess Emily has made us some new designs for the Earth Defense Force that are now available, and
it's an
they
awesome
are so
design.
Fucking cool.
Yeah.
It is really, really cool.
Human hitting a robot with a stick.
Yes, it's so cool. Yeah. I hate that I got to be like, oh, it's a
it's an awesome looking
shirt. But it's so cool. It's such a cool design. I'm really excited about it.
Thank you so much to Emily for designing that and allowing us to use it.
Totally.
We hope to get it out closer to the episode where Alex announced Earth Defense Force.
Yeah.
He has since forgotten about this announcement, but the shirt is really awesome.
We will never forget about the Earth Defense Force.
Never. And that's available on our
Go to the website and
there's a button that says merch. You can get it on a mug or a shirt. Yeah,
it'll be great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Jordan, today we've got an episode to go over that'll be interesting-ish, fun. No, it is. It'll be a good time.
All right.
But it's going to be August 11th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020. God, that is Tuesday.
All right.
I'll admit I had a little bit of the storm gave me some troubles in terms of my workflow.
Okay.
Because I have not been that scared by weather
in
Chicago in a long time.
We're not used to tornadoes here.
No, and, you know, granted, I wasn't as worried as I had been in my younger years in Missouri.
Sure, sure, sure.
Much more threatening weather sometimes there. But the uncertainty of it for a good part of the afternoon with just completely dark skies.
Oh, man. And you're on the top floor. Yeah, that's the thing that got to me. I was texting you like, oh, shit, he's on the top floor.
And I think that your text made me worry even more.
I'm a helpful man.
Yeah. So that kind of threw things off.
All right.
And then afterwards, I think I was so, like, worked up about it that I had to take a nap. And so, like, I think yesterday was a wash for me.
Of course, of course.
So anyway, here we are, August 11th, 2020. I'm Dan, this is 2020.
All right, we're not doing it again.
No. Did I do that already?
Yes, you did.
Oops.
All right.
Anyway, hey, let's take a moment to say thank you to the folks who signed up for the show.
Yeah, I like
supporting
it.
The
I
show.
Like it.
So first, Gary M., thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you so much. Next, Blavid Dane. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Blavid Dane. I want to make that name disappear. Hey, all right.
Nice. Next, Michael D., thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Next, Ardo S., thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Ardo.
Thank you. Next, Abner Doubleday. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Abner Doubleday.
Thank you so much. Next, Firkin Sturf. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Firkin Sturf.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And then next, I'd like to say thank you to somebody who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So, Kevin R., thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Yes, thank you very much, Kev. Do you think he goes by Kev?
He might.
All right.
Maybe we could talk him into it.
I think so.
And then finally, I'd like to say thank you to somebody, a very special thank you to someone who will be henceforth a Raptor Princess. This is a fake name.
Fair enough.
New Dan Mychill. Thank you so much. You're a Raptor Princess.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
I'll barbecue your ass.
It's over for humanity.
You're a beautiful soul. They're coming for your balls. Well, I piss all over your god. Very few people crap in the pool unless they're babies. I piss all over the state.
You make it a practice of calling people pieces of garbage?
When they are.
Come it, as you see fit.
Thank you so much, New Dan Mychill.
Yes. If that's a real name, you're going to feel really embarrassed about that.
I feel like I'm pretty certain it's an alias.
All right.
If you're out there listening and thinking, hey, I enjoy the show, I'd like to support what these gents do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
Indeed.
Or you can take that generosity, fold it up into a paper airplane,
okay,
throw it, have it do some loop-de-loops in the air, and then land at a charity in your area to help people in need.
I think that's the best one you've executed
it's
so far.
Pretty smooth.
That was smooth as shit.
Yep.
I love it.
So, Jordan, before we get to today's episode, we got a little bit of business to go over. The first matter in front of us is a little trip into the mailbag.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jordan, I have here in front of me a book.
It is a book. It's a big book. Confessions of the Illuminati, of an Illuminati. Oh, shit! It's from Zagami!
That took you a while.
Get the fuck out of here! Well, the title, the name is the same color as
not,
the fucking...
It's not good graphic design.
This is really bad!
The second edition of Confessions of an Illuminati. The Whole Truth About the Illuminati and the New World Order by Leo Lion Zagami.
God damn it! This guy does not realize that his days as a fucking DJ are worthy of a memoir, and this bullshit...
Hey, maybe that's in there. I'm really excited.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I am going to be reading this in as soon as I can.
Oh,
soon as we hit end on the record. I'm going to be diving in, and we're definitely going to be talking about it.
Oh, no, no. We can't not.
So this came with a little note.
All right.
Dan and Jordan.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to send you this novel of complete madness as a way of thanking you for all the great content you've put out over the years. I've been a fan since 2018 and can't thank both of you enough for consistently excellent content that's entertained and educated me during multiple moves and learning how to paint miniatures. I think it's so important for people to be introduced to right-wing talking points with critical and well-thought-out rebuttals. You're essentially inoculating people against these toxic ideologies, and I think that the impact you both have had on fighting the far right is immeasurable. Thank you very much. I disagree, but
It's totally measurable. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying we're not doing a good job. I'm just saying that you can absolutely measure.
Anyway, thanks to both of you for an excellent podcast, and I owe you both a novelty beverage one day. Sincerely, Policy Wonk, Brent C. Thank you so much, Brent.
Thank you so much, Brent.
Also, there's a postscript here.
Okay.
I'd love to make each of you a Warhammer mini as a way of thanks. If there's anything you know about the setting, do you have any preferences? Thanks. I don't know anything about it.
No, me neither.
I'm not somebody who has any experience in that that arena, although yeah. I mean, it's some sort of Dungeons & Dragons-esque role-playing thing, right? But with miniature figurines.
I think there's a role-playing, but there's a miniature figurine aspect to it.
You create your own character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would assume that I would have to be like a bard or some kind of a scholar.
You could be a bard. Yeah,
a cleric of some sort.
No, cleric is great.
And then you would be a berserker
type. I would even give you fucking lawful good. Mm-hmm. I would give you lawful good, Dan. Your alignment is great.
In some sort of a lore where it used to be chaotic or something.
Yeah. You've advanced beyond that and grown as a person.
Brent, I don't know. I don't know anything about this, but I think that's an awesome, I would love to have miniatures.
Totally.
Of,
if somebody...
Because there's so much nonsense in terms of the show that we've talked about, whether it be like the Project Camelot stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much potential for weird lore things.
Yeah.
That I think you could let your mind go crazy come up with something fun.
Yeah, totally. You know, I want some kind of, look, I'm a nerd. I get it. I want some sort of magician character. You know, when I was really, really young, I was athletic and my friend was very much not athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And in a reverse kind of role play situation, he would always play as the barbarian strongman.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always play as the wizard type. And I've always
enjoyed
that.
That's what the realm of fantasy is for.
That's what I'm all about. So if there's a magic user, preferably one with a violent temper and an awful past.
That works.
Give it to me. Yeah.
Now, Jordan, last little thing before we get to the episode.
Sure.
I mentioned on our last episode that we have a phone number.
Oh,
that,
yes,
of course,
we do.
Is 773-TAT-GUYS. you'll be happy to know that we did receive some messages.
All right.
A bunch.
Okay. Okay.
So we are not going to be able to get to all of them today.
I knew we'd get there!
But here are some of the messages.
First caller, and I have no idea what the fuck to say.
First caller doesn't know what to say. That's the call.
I think first is a great thing to say if you're the first caller.
But,
like, this
but
is
unfortunately,
classic internet shit.
Unfortunately, this person was 10 minutes late. They were the second caller.
Oh, no!
Here's the actual first call.
Hello, Dan, Jordan. This is Motoko from Seattle. I'm a longtime listener, second-time caller. Actually called from the guy on Skype, but a message got deleted after a month. It has nothing to do with Alex. I just wanted to know if you have any advice on Horizon Zero Dawn. I know Dan loved it. I'm just starting it. What should I do? Thank you, and have a great show.
Advice about Horizon Zero Dawn, I would say enjoy your journey.
My advice?
take some time, enjoy the scenery.
That's great advice.
Yeah, it's great visually.
From a gameplay perspective, my advice, get to the cauldrons early. You want to be able to turn all of those machines to your side. That's a huge
And the cauldrons are a lot of fun.
Oh, they're so much fun.
Yeah, they're like little mini dungeons.
Yeah.
Basically.
Puzzles, platforming.
Yeah.
It's great.
The cauldrons are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I found the place that has like the special armor behind the big locked thing.
Man. You know what? I never got that.
I found that almost immediately and
you
became obsessed with it as like a quest.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of hurt my,
did you find it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, eventually. I never did.
It took me forever, but I did.
Okay.
But it also is like gated. You know, like there's things you need in order to solve that you can't do at various parts in the game.
Yeah.
That led to me like getting really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice would be like, you know, don't get too bogged down in specific things.
Sure.
And just sort of enjoy and have a good time.
Yeah.
It's a great.
It is a little bit like Assassin's Creed when it tantalizes you with that first aspect that you need to get the super armor, but then you have to wait like 10 full chapters before you can get to the last one.
So yeah.
Motherfucker, when am I going to get this armor?
Yeah. But yeah, the cauldrons, that's a great tip.
I think so.
Because then you can override things.
Things is so much fun.
Yeah, it opens up interesting mechanics.
Totally.
I also think that taking your time with the hunting grounds is worth it, even though it's completely side to the main quest.
That's fair.
But that's a fun thing.
I enjoyed those, yeah.
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 All right, here's the last message for today.
All right.
Hey, this is Pat, guys. I'm just calling, so I was wondering if I could... order some Pat. I know during COVID that might be a bit difficult, but you know, I'm a man in need, as it was. Anyways, call me back. Thanks.
I think this introduces a problem with our phone number, and that is that people might be trying to order tattoos, and I think we could run into problems there. I did not think that through.
I would like to know if anybody called Tat Bros.
I can't tell you because it's not our phone number. But yeah, thanks for the calls, everybody. Yes. We'll get to some more of them on future episodes.
Also, we'll figure out some distribution for Tat supplies. Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, what are we doing? Nah. We got the phone number.
Sure. So let's jump in here, Jordan.
All right.
After far too long of an intro, here is starting up on August 11th. Alex is getting pretty extreme about the coming election. Sure.
They are now officially announcing a plan that when Joe Biden loses in a landslide, despite their election fraud, that they are going to have every blue state secede and have their own inauguration.
Ooh, I like this idea.
The president and completely dividing this country. This is how foreign enemies can take down the United States, not with an outward military attack, but with a collapse from within. And that is our top story. Continuing, we'll be covering it.
So that's the top story.
So is he against secession now?
He was for 10th Amendment assertions of seceding back in 2009. He was in favor of that when there was talk of gun laws.
Okay.
And he also believes that Texas is its own country.
Right.
And so therefore
naturally
could do whatever the fuck it wants.
It's beholden to no laws.
Right.
I think this is honestly, if this plan was true, I think this is a win for Alex, right?
No.
Like it's a reverse secession for them.
Mm.
You know, like what are you going to be mad that you guys aren't the ones who get to secede? We're seceding from you. That's essentially the same as you seceding from us.
I think he would be very mad about that. I think that it would be like, no.
That's fair. You're right. You don't fire me. I quit.
I don't want to play with you, but I don't want you to not want to play with me. Yeah.
That's probably totally true.
It's all petulance and narcissism.
Oh, my God.
But
that's
this
so sad.
This is just about what we talked about on the last episode, that war game session, one of the scenarios that they explored was the possibility of Biden not conceding the election.
Of course.
Basically the 2000 election, but with a fight.
Right.
So that's what Alex is pretending is the official plan that they've announced.
Right.
So that's where we're at.
I think it's a great idea, but we're just going to have to move Atlanta somewhere.
Mm.
You know, like the red state, blue state thing, Atlanta's still trapped.
What about
in
purple
the red
states,
state?
My friend?
Purple states, two-fifths compromised.
What about purple stuff? That song.
Ooh.
Purple stuff.
I thought you were talking about the Sonny D commercial.
No, I'm talking about Big Mo.
Ooh, I want that purple stuff.
Have you ever seen that music video, Purple Stuff?
No, I've never seen that music video. For Big Mo?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a great rest in peace, Big Mo, by the way. He died from codeine, cough syrup, which is what purple stuff is. Very sad. Well,
this is a whole C-Murda situation all over again.
That video is amazing, though. It's a pretty good song. Uh-huh. I enjoy it. And then it also has this very weird, unnecessary Willy Wonka kind of thing going
on. All
right.
I like it.
Anyway.
Yes.
This next clip, Alex said something that really got me excited because it's one of the indications to me that maybe he's going to try. We always know that I get very pumped when Alex is like, I'm going to prove something.
Right.
And I thought that's what was coming here, but I'm not sure if he followed through with this.
I have three huge stories here, all of which we have broken, all of which InfoWars has discovered, all of which no one even knows about. Now, it isn't about the credit. But I want listeners to understand, one of these stories would devastate the COVID hoax. We have three of them.
I got so pumped because it's like, all right.
Okay.
We got three strikes coming.
Somebody's going to devastate the COVID hoax.
Well, I mean, like, Alex is going to be like, here's story number one, and then I can take care of that.
Right.
Here's story number two. I'm going to take care of that.
Of course.
He doesn't really specify what the three stories are. I'm not sure he got to all three of them.
Really?
I honestly don't know. We could guess if the three are various things that are covered along the way, but he doesn't make it explicit.
And is so, Bill Gates one of the three?
No.
He's still one of the 12.
He's one of the 12.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, good. For sure.
All right.
I don't think that this is one of the three giant stories, but Alex rambles about something.
Sure.
And it actually allows me to put into context something he talked about on a previous episode.
Okay.
And then you learn there's hundreds of stories, one every day, about, oh, this LGBT professor, she died of COVID, doesn't exist, being put out by PSYOP squads
in
Big Pharma.
So, on our last episode, I mentioned that Alex was vaguely accusing fake people of being included in COVID death numbers.
Yeah.
And we discussed how dangerous an evolution that is in terms of his rhetoric. One of the things that I took the most issue with was the lack of any specific details that would tell people what he was talking about. And at least this time, he's being a little bit less vague. This story is about a Twitter hoax.
Yeah, which, I remember this one.
It was run by an account called Sciencing_by. The account purported to be an LGBTQ indigenous professor at the Arizona State University who had caught COVID-19 and then apparently passed away from it. People who have looked into the details of the story have found that many elements of that person's story don't match up with reality, including claims of teaching when at a point no classes were in session, and the fact that ASU had no faculty members die of COVID-19 in the time period when this person is said to have died.
And she was dating Monty Teo, so...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's an old... Okay, fine.
Yeah, that was
fine,
a little bit...
Fine, it's dated. What it's do you
not,
want from
it's
me?
It's not a bad joke. It's just a ways back. It's just maybe...
When do we have a... What's the most recent catfishing story?
Maybe... Is that like 7 years ago?
That was a long time ago.
Jeez.
I know. I'm sorry. Anyways.
But
how's
not
that,
bad.
How's
but,
that Monica Lewinsky
but
stuff
not
going?
Not bad, okay. As far as a joke goes. The construction was there.
Thank you.
It was an appropriate reference. It was just, I don't know how many people remember
Manti Te'o. You know what? It's fine. My references are great, Dan.
So this person's death was reported by a Twitter account run by a woman named Bethann McLaughlin. According to an article in Heavy, McLaughlin's lawyer gave the New York Times a statement that said, quote, I take full responsibility for my involvement in creating the @sciencing_by Twitter account. My actions are inexcusable. I apologize without reservation to all the people I hurt. It's really hard to say exactly what's going on with this situation or what people's motivations were, but from what I can gather, it looks like McLaughlin had been running a fake Twitter account purporting to be an indigenous anthropology professor at ASU for a few years. In that time period, she had tricked a number of folks into thinking the professor was a real person, and then she decided to pretend that she died of COVID-19. This is what it looks like from the information that I can find. This is why specifics are important. If you're alleging that there are fake people claiming to have died of COVID-19 and this is the story you're talking about, we can engage with that responsibly and look at the details of the story and conclude that most likely what's going on here is a Twitter hoax. People do stuff like this all the time, and it's one of the reasons why you have to be pretty careful with social media.
Yeah.
However, there's absolutely no reason to pretend that this story involves any of the elements that Alex is claiming it does.
Totally.
For one, there's no reason to think that this Twitter persona's alleged death is being included in anyone's statistics. That's a complete fabrication of Alex's mind. The second thing is that there's no reason for Alex to suggest that this was a work of PSYOP specialists. That's a claim that he's making that he's obligated to support. He needs to defend that assertion, which he can't do beyond just saying it and then asserting and insisting that it's a fact. What you end up doing when you act this way is that you really end up muddying the waters. The baseline story is about a really interesting and bizarre case of someone apparently running a fake Twitter account that they decided to kill off with COVID-19. But because of how Alex is speaking so vaguely about it and making up details to suit his purposes, it's easy for the audience to come away with the impression that things are very different. If you didn't look into it, you might think that the underlying story in the mainstream media is that a professor at ASU had officially died of COVID-19, but Alex and his crack staff had uncovered that she didn't actually exist.
Yeah, any one of these three stories will do it.
You can easily see how the conclusion you'd be left with would be different based on the two different versions of the story, and that confusion is Alex's goal.
Yeah.
It's a twisting of reality that leads people to a desired conclusion. That's the game he's playing, And that's why specifics are so dangerous for him.
Yeah.
When he first talked about it, it was just, hey, there's fake people dying of COVID. And it's like, well, that's a really dangerous idea to suggest, but you're not giving me anything to go on. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Now that you bring in that it's an LGBTQ professor who's fake, I can find out what this is and I can say, oh, this is a completely different story.
Right.
Has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
No, it's very much a situation where specifics hurts him, but vagueness hurts us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like...
Vagueness hurts everyone.
Vagueness hurts everyone. I just... Hold on one second.
Yeah.
I need you to confirm this for me.
Please.
She pretended to be an LGBTQ indigenous professor.
I think so. Correct. That's the information I can find. I can't say that with certainty, but it appears that that is the case. And that article in Heavy does seem to indicate that she has confessed to such.
And in her apology, she wrote, "I apologize without reservation."
Oh.
Now, did she parenthesize pun intended or unintended? Because if you don't parenthesize that, man, you're fucking with my head.
Boy, that's...
That's really fucking with my head, Dan.
That's a pretty good point.
Are you fucking with me?
And apparently that was a quote from her lawyer, so maybe we can't attribute that to her.
That's
I'm not
fair.
Entirely sure.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that is...
Damn, that's... Whoa. Are you fucking with me?
Maybe.
All right.
I mean, I'm not. But, so this, I think, is one of Alex's three stories.
Okay.
I think not that one.
No, this next one.
This next clip. I think is one of Alex's three stories,
gotcha.
And it's he's taken an existing story in Axios, and he's pretending that he's gotten to the bottom of a deeper reality.
Okay.
And then he just dives off the deep end into some gross Islamophobia.
All right.
From Axios, 97,000 children test positive for COVID-19. A school's eye. Reopening. He thought he might actually go to the report they're using from the National Hospital Association. That gets its numbers from the CDC, Children's Hospital Association. They're counting people, and almost all of them are 24 years old or 19.
Got him.
They're now counting, just like they count 30-year-old migrants, invaders, Islamicist men, as children and put them in school, in middle school with your daughters. And German TV says, and after-school shows... Oh, this is Inga. She's 14. She has her 18-year-old boyfriend now. They're getting married. He's from Syria. He's like a 30-year-old dude. They're literally matchmaking your daughters with Islamicists.
Wow.
Because they promise them in the ads, come to Germany, you get women. Come to Sweden, you get women. And they're like, the women, grown-up women are like, I don't want this deadbeat, you know, Islamicist. Chop my head off, but they can give him a dumb 14-year-old. A lot of them get tortured and killed. My point is that this is the age of total deception, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought your point was about an Axios story.
No. Is that this is the age of total deception, Dan.
No.
It's because, okay, so let's refer to the details of the story.
Right. So this is about coronavirus, COVID-19,
yes.
Axios.
Exactly.
Youths being diagnosed with COVID-19.
Right.
So,
and that's because young women in Sweden are marrying...
They're being matchmade. By the UN.
By the matchmaker from Mulan?
No, the UN.
We are meeting our matchmaker.
That's just disgusting xenophobic trash. But
just say everyone non-white is coming for your daughters.
Yeah.
That's all you want to say.
I mean,
we're going all the way back. Let's start in the Jim Crow area.
That's the underpinning of things.
Let's just do it.
Leaving that disgustingness aside, Alex is lying about that Axios thing. The reason there's some age confusion about the data in that report that is what Axios is reporting on, which is from the American Academy of Pediatrics, is that the only thing that they can go on is state-level data, and each state has a different way of classifying age cohorts.
That's smart.
If you do go look at the data, you can see this very clearly called out on page 3 as one of the limitations of the data set. But yet, Alex is still lying. There's only one state that lists people up to age 24, and that's Alabama. From the page about data limitations, quote, Alabama reported children as ages 0 to 24 and is excluded from some figures. The people compiling the report recognized that this was outside the range of what they were talking about and thus had to exclude the state's data lest it throw things off too much.
Sure.
Tennessee and South Carolina included people from ages 0 to 20, but most states had a cutoff of 17, 18, or 19.
Right.
If you actually go and look at the charts where the statistics that are being reported are taken from, you'll see a little disclaimer saying, quote, Alabama and Texas excluded from figure. This is because the state-level data from Alabama was unreliable given the high age range, and Texas was excluded because, quote, Texas reported age distribution for only 8% of all cases. Neither of these states could be reliably sorted into this data set, so they were excluded. What this actually means is that the real number of child cases of COVID-19 is higher than what's being reported, because there are obviously some children in Alabama and Texas who have gotten sick.
Did you say that the age range was only reported for 8% in Texas?
Yeah, but that's you know, the state decision of some sort. I
understand that's the state decision.
Someone has that data, but it's just not reported to the...
Wow.
I don't know.
Oh, man, it is over for humanity. There will only be lone survivors, Dan.
Essentially, what's going on is that Alex is misrepresenting something he doesn't understand about this report, and he's relying on that misunderstanding to report the exact opposite of the truth. He's saying that these numbers are exaggerating and that they're counting 24-year-olds, when in reality, the only state that goes up that high is excluded from the data set, thereby excluding also the gross number of people who are under 15, 16 years of age who have tested positive in Alabama and Texas.
The study raised and addressed his concern well before he even thought about
that's
it.
That's almost always the case with these these things.
They tend to think about stuff in advance, Dan. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, that's a large part of what going to higher education is about.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a great idea.
It's about instilling methodology.
Oh, no, that's a good idea.
Now, also, Alex is a racist, xenophobic, Islamophobic piece of shit who can't even be bothered to do his job with any degree of competence.
Yeah.
And that's maybe more important.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, it's been a while since I've gotten to hear Alex in his natural element. You know, sometimes...
Singing along to the way with the highwaymen?
Well, that's certainly one of the places that he feels most at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could go to a zoo and you could see an animal and it's kind of depressing because they're, you know, in a cage.
Sure,
and you know.
Sure.
But if you go in nature and you see a deer,
it's kind of
like, ah, that's where it belongs.
Right.
This is Alex, kind of where he belongs.
Okay. Saxophone is where he belongs.
Yeah, we're under UN control. Pocket fashion. I know you can too.
So basically, yes, the highway.
You can hear it. Oh, yeah. We're getting near it.
You son of a bitch!
The globalist. You don't have any choice.
He pulls me back in.
My ancestors did. We've defeated slave masters before. We'll beat them again. But make no mistake, we're going into bondage right now. If it doesn't make every cell in your body surge with energy to resist it, there's something wrong with you. It's time to wake up. Decide that you're not gonna adapt to being a slave, but we're gonna throw this thing off together.
With you're our kinship,
and go to the future. We're not gonna let these tyrants steal the future from us. We're gonna let this attack energize us to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, Alex's natural environment is giving vapid pump-up speeches that are pretty aggressive and maybe a little bit insinuating of violence over you belong to the city.
Clear eyes, belong to the city, can't lose, Dan.
I can't believe that there were years of his show that he didn't have that as bumper music.
I don't understand.
It's just such
it's where he belongs.
It's such a perfect like juxtaposition of his, like, we will take out the globalists over this goddamn Eagles-ass saxophone. Glenn Frey nonsense. It's so good.
Oh, man. Just start playing Dave Matthews Band and let's move on with our lives.
I swear to God, if he could do that for 3 hours.
It'd be great.
I mean.
It would be great.
I don't understand why he wouldn't do that.
I don't know.
Just
I don't know.
Give speeches that where he imagines himself as like General Patton.
Seriously. If he went full Joe Frank on us and just gave us small, like little mini pieces of just like pure distillation of insanity. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. You can put him as a bumper music on all shows.
There was that nice stretch where he was like almost every day doing a speech over You Belong to the City.
It's great.
And I hadn't heard it in a while and I missed it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that came back.
That is good stuff.
Yep. So there's a lot of censorship going on about conservatives. You know,
that like, doesn't sound right.
They're not allowed on anything anymore.
They're allowed a lot of places, well, an astonishing number of places.
It turns out that now they can't use phones.
There's not much further to go other than not letting us use text messages or phones. And now Laura Loomer's in the lead to win the Republican primary and to beat the Democrat in the general election. So now she's not allowed to use a telephone. They've turned her telephone service off. She's joining us today.
To pay her bill.
We don't allow hate. Sorry. Your campaign system can't send text messages to people.
Oh, that's a little different.
Stories on InfoWars.com. That's the plan. It's here.
I got a lot of red flags on this story. The article on InfoWars relies entirely on a video that Laura Loomer recorded of herself claiming that Xfinity and Comcast have banned her from sending texts and emails to her supporters.
Sounds trustworthy to me.
It's unclear how this mechanism would even work, considering that they're just utility providers and her messages would most likely be delivered through third-party platforms like MailChimp for emails. Nah. Or anyway, Loomer provides literally no evidence for her claims in the video, and based on her incredibly embarrassing and deceitful history, I'm not going to take her word on anything. If, you know, if a utility is blocking somebody from using their service like a phone or internet based on political beliefs, then I do oppose that.
Yes, agreed.
I just don't believe Laura Loomer that that's what's happening in this case.
Not for a second.
So I looked into this a little further, and take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt, because I found this article on Breitbart. The article claimed that they had a statement from a Comcast spokesperson who said, quote, "We're reaching out to the campaign and have made a technical fix that will resolve this issue within 24 hours. We're continuously working to protect our customers from potential security threats. In this case, our security platform, which leverages widely used third-party threat intelligence services, flagged the texting provider used by Laura Loomer's campaign as a potential threat. Anyone using this texting provider would have had the same experience, not only with our service, but with any security service using similar threat intelligence lists. The security alert had nothing to do with the content sender of any communication. Content or sender."
Yeah, I mean, when you work with a texting company called Nazi.great, you're not going to do great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if this Breitbart article is to believe, then the issue is not related to Loomer's campaign as much as it is that she was working with a mass texting company that might not be very legit.
Putin's free texting company!
It kind of makes sense. I mean, she has bad instincts and associates with absolutely shady people. So I could see her using a disreputable company to handle her campaign correspondence. Even if this is the case, apparently Comcast's been responsive to the issue and is working to resolve it. This is, at worst, a normal inconvenience someone might run into in their lives. But because people like Laura Loomer are so invested in their identity as a victim, the whole thing becomes a grand plot against them because everyone's so scared of their ideas.
Yeah.
Loomer releases a video playing the aggrieved, noble, but censored conservative. And then people like Alex can report on that video, unquestioningly accepting her framing because it also serves their purposes and fits their narratives. As is the case with so much of the stuff we see on InfoWars, this is an instance of someone taking their own personal inconveniences and extrapolating them into being broad conspiracies against them.
Yeah.
Laura's texting company is shady, so this ends up being reported as conservatives will soon have no phones. Alex's wife has to make a reservation at a park, and this ends up being reported as an Agenda 21 takeover of state parks. It's all just narcissism run amok. That's all that's going on.
A representative from Comcast also said that we immediately flagged the texting company called Nikolai Chow Text You.
That's all right.
That's all right?
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
Well, Ceausescu's certainly more relevant than Manti Te'o, so even though it's an older
You're
reference...
You're shitting on me today. Damn!
It's not shitting, it's being analytical.
Okay, all right. All right. Look, they can't all be home runs. Sometimes you hit a single.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you hit a bloop single over the third baseman. Still good.
I think one of the problems is that, like, and I think this is a difference between how you and I engage with things, is that I'm not always a laugher.
No, I accept that. That's
you're
that's
a
the
laugher.
Challenge.
You laugh at
that's
things.
That's the challenge.
And I can appreciate a Nikolai Chow text you.
That's not
I can
bad.
Appreciate
it's
that.
Not bad,
but I might not laugh at it.
Fair. No. It's
the Manti Te'o thing I think was funny. I'm just probably not going to laugh at it the same way that you might.
It's that denial of approval but that makes this show work.
But
Dan.
It's not.
You're it's, my dad. It's all right. That's what's happening.
It's not a lack of approval. I approve and I appreciate. Look, I just might not laugh.
When I get a smirk or a little laugh out of you, I feel like it's an accomplishment. That's why you can't.
I feel like
you can't give it to me on Chow Text You.
You should.
You can't. I got to work harder.
You should translate. Still pretty good. You should translate me saying, all right. That's the equivalent of like a belly laugh.
Okay. All right. All right. I buy it.
So, anyway, Alex gets to some headlines here. Uh-huh. Maybe this is another one of his three stories. I don't know.
Sure.
Maybe.
So let's go over some of these articles. Why the WHO faked a pandemic. Forbes magazine 10 years ago, Michael Fumento, and it goes all over how they staged a whole fake deal
in 2020
with the Rockefeller Foundation and the CDC and Fauci to see how the public will respond. And what did Gates say 3 months ago on Colbert? He said, this is really just a drill. The real attack's coming from terrorists. It'll be much worse. This is a drill. This is a lockdown drill to see how you'll behave. And if you grovel and behave, they're going to release something far worse. I mean, go watch it for yourself.
Bill Gates didn't say those things in that interview. Nah. That was just Alex's imagination interpreting comments to mean those things.
Nah, I'm pretty sure Obama said that, too, in Africa in 2010.
So there are a couple of important points about that article in Forbes.
Sure.
Even though Alex is accurately reading the headline.
Okay.
The first thing is that this article is from February 2010 and has to do with complaints about swine flu. The second thing is that Michael Fumento, the author, has a pretty suspicious credit on his byline. He's not listed as a scientist or a researcher or even a journalist. He's identified as a, quote, subscriber.
Oh, no.
This is an audience-submitted op-ed that Forbes published, which doesn't quite reach the platinum level of evidence that Alex is holding it up to be. As a columnist, Fumento has a dodgy history. He seems to have made a brand out of telling people to calm down about things.
All right.
Like in the late 80s, HIV/AIDS.
Hold on. This dude has been submitting comment or bullshit.
He's also been a published columnist throughout some period of time. Right. And he wrote a book called The Myth of Heterosexual AIDS. So we got a
hero on our hands.
Also, he's told people to calm down about climate change and Monsanto.
Does he think that Magic Johnson actually means magic?
I don't know.
Okay.
But with Monsanto, he got in a little bit of trouble back in 2006 when it was revealed that he'd failed to report that he'd profited financially from a Monsanto grant for the Hudson Institute where he was employed. And he had written positive things about Monsanto.
It's so wild when the justice system has been bought and paid for by a large multinational corporation like Chevron or Monsanto.
I'm sure it was a sincere slip up and not an instance of someone writing positive articles about an entity that indirectly funded them. I'm sure it was
that
totally
above board.
That sounds
right. That sounds right.
Anyway, another target of Fumento's calm down scolding was the swine flu outbreak of 2009. This op-ed in Forbes is in no way conclusive and has nothing to do with the topics that Alex is pretending that it does. There's no mention of the Rockefeller Foundation or of Dr. Fauci. This is just another example of Alex taking a headline that works for him and making up a story about what the article actually says. Articles and headlines are props for Alex. All of the details are just things he's pulling out of thin air. Also, just because it's funny, Michael Fumento, another article that he wrote with his vein of calm down scolding, was about anti-vaxxers. And telling them to calm down.
No
vaccines
deal.
Are great.
Come so on, I'm sure, vaccines are great.
I'm sure Alex would love to engage with that article at some point. It seems like pretty much almost everything that I can find of him is accusing everyone of being hysterical about topics all across the board.
Sure.
And okay. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Plague. Bubonic. Calm down. No big deal. What are we talking about here? Vandals coming to our home. No big deal.
But the important thing is that it does have a headline that is saying that the World Health Organization faked a pandemic when the article doesn't prove that.
No.
It's a user-submitted op-ed that got published on Forbes, and this guy has a decades-long track record of his basically all of his work just being telling people to shut up.
This Medium post by Dickbag McGee means that we're all going to die.
You're worried. You're worried about this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're crazy.
Calm it down.
You're hysterical.
Calm it down. What are you talking about? Are we? What are we bothered about? Slavery? It's the economy. Mm. What are you doing? Mm. It'll take care of itself, Dan.
Yep. So for a long time, Alex has been making the claim that on the CDC's own materials that they say that all tests are false positives,
sure,
basically.
Sure.
He never really gives any specifics about it, so I've never really been able to engage with it. In this next clip, Alex gives an indication of where he's pulling that information from. And again, he has to not be specific, because when he does, it reveals this stuff.
CDC, 2019 novel coronavirus, real-time RT-PRC diagnostic panel.
PCR.
This is the official CDC, and it says on page 3, do not rule out bacterial infection or co-infection with other viruses, false positives. They admit most of the tests are false. And Gates has had to admit, okay, yeah, most of the tests are false. Yeah, because they put them out.
This is one of the most damning instances of Alex playing games.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a stray line that he found in this document. He hasn't read this thing. The full sentence he's reading is, quote, the 2019 novel coronavirus RNA is genetically detectable in upper and lower respiratory specimens during infection. Positive results are indicative of active infection with 2019 novel coronavirus, but do not rule out bacterial infection or co-infection with other viruses. The agent detected may not be the definite cause of disease. You can easily see the trick Alex is playing here. He starts the sentence at, quote, do not rule out, which changes the grammar of the sentence. When you start the sentence that way, it appears to be a command, telling people to do something. When in reality, the sentence starts with, quote, positive results are indicative of active infection, but do not rule out, which is saying that a positive result would show COVID-19, but also that doesn't mean the patient may not be suffering from another condition. Also,
it's a warning, not a command.
Exactly. Yeah. In proper context, all this line is saying is that if you find someone tests positive for COVID-19, that doesn't rule out that there's a possibility that their diagnosis will ultimately be more complicated.
Headline, CDC says, be thorough.
Uh-huh. Alex could not make this misrepresentation without omitting the beginning of that sentence.
Yeah.
So this is absolutely a case of him consciously lying about what the document says, or him repeating a report that someone else who's consciously lying created without confirming it in any way for himself.
Yeah.
There's no way around this because it's so specific the way the sentence has been changed to start mid-sentence to appear to be a command. It's so fucking manipulative.
I'm going to give this one to a lower level researcher on that kind of a lie right there.
Dramatically,
I wouldn't give Alex the strength.
I mean, I would assume that it's secondhand and Alex just hasn't confirmed it in any way. But the thing that's important to recognize is that wherever it's starting from, it's absolutely conscious.
Oh, totally.
Like, because that sentence makes perfect sense in its entirety. And it changes meaning when you start it in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's just unacceptable. That should be suable. I don't know. Maybe not.
You
but
lying motherfucker. Is that the lawsuit title?
Perhaps. So Alex wants to take some calls on this show, but he wants to take calls specifically
about Tap Bros?
No, about his manufactured narrative about blue states seceding.
Okay.
Open the phones up, starting really the next segment. On the subject I raised yesterday and the subject I raised today, so I politely ask listeners that are going to call in about your take, your view on the Democrats that are now being in the New York Times at the top Democrat strategy meeting saying we're going to have the states secede, we're going to have our own inauguration and say Joe Biden is the president, and then the military will have to decide who they believe the real government is. And they are running around saying the military will then remove Trump. I mean, that's their next hoax.
So Alex has decided that this is the plan. This is what's going to happen. Sure. And he wants his audience to commiserate about this because it'll be some fun, violent talk.
Definitely be prepared for the thing that we are accusing them of doing while we are doing it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Alex doesn't get to call us for quite a while because he has something else he has to do.
Sure.
And this is very uncharacteristic.
Okay.
But I have a correction to make.
What?
At the end of the last hour, I put out fake news, and it was an accident, and I apologize.
So there's a number of things that Alex has said so far on this show that desperately need a correction.
Okay.
One, the complete misrepresentation of the guidelines about PCR tests that Alex made by chopping off the beginning of that sentence.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Two, the misrepresentation of the Axios article about children with COVID-19, where he failed to mention that the cohort of people who were 24 and considered children were only in Alabama and were explicitly excluded from the data set because of this.
All right.
Three, the horrific Islamophobia he wove into that misrepresentation for no reason. Four, his taking Laura Loomer at her word about her dumb campaign for Congress being censored. There are others, but that's four very serious journalistic fuck-ups that he's made in less than an hour of his show, so I expect that one of these should definitely be the thing that he's apologizing for.
Yeah, that's a good one.
No, it's not.
Oh, no.
So I'm sorry. I said 0.32. I'm sorry.
He's talking about the Texas death rate.
Great.
It's a fraction of that. How much smaller is 0.32 from 0.32? Can somebody do the math in there?
What?
Fucked it up again.
What fraction of that is that? Because that's some horrible fake news I put out. God, I don't work for the UN. I just told you that it's hundreds of times worse than it is. I'm sorry. I misread it. It wasn't on purpose. I admit it. It's not 0.32. It's 0.032.
Yeah. So that's his big correction that he misread a number. I would say that that's great. I mean, great to do a correction, but also there's more substantive corrections you need to be focusing on, Alex.
Well, there's that.
Because
that
these one, are like...
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
That one seems a little disingenuous to me.
Yeah.
I don't think he was really meaning that as a full-throated...
Making a real pageant out of that false apology.
I don't think that was a heartfelt, you know, like, correction there.
Yeah.
I kind of think that he was being very dismissive of people who might think that
that he needs to make some corrections.
I think he might be dismissive of that. Yeah.
Because he could be like, hey, Alex, you fucked up all this stuff. He's like, no, when I get something wrong, I'm very comfortable admitting it on air.
Oh, sure.
I said that it was 0.32 and it's 0.32.
I think I've heard somebody talk like that before.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, the thing is that cases are going up in places like Texas.
Sure.
But deaths aren't going up. And Alex knows why.
Okay.
But see, the death number's going straight down like a lead balloon, but the infection rate is going straight up. Because I just showed you the CDC's own website. If you had a bacterial infection or the flu or a cold in the last decade, on average, you are going to have the genetic material that you will also have if you had COVID-19.
This is just from that guidelines with the do not rule out thing.
Yeah.
This is he's pointing back to that. That's not proof of shit.
Alex, let's just talk about the concept of time real quick. All right. So if you're given now, let's say that somebody gets the virus and there's what, a 2 week, well, 10 day period in between when you get the virus and when the symptoms start to really accelerate.
Right.
So it suggests that if the case rate was going up, then the death rate would follow later.
Right. And you can't really expect the exact same trajectory as the first time cases were really getting out of control because we have more information than we had the last sort of round, it were. And so, you'd expect a delay just from how
it works.
Yeah.
How time works. Yeah.
And then you wouldn't expect it to be identical, but this is all just stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex, he gets around to talking again about this story in Axios. He wants to really report on this.
Okay.
And it turns out that he didn't figure this out.
Who did?
His tech guy.
Oh.
Okay, we put this on screen. This is a huge exclusive.
My wife's tennis partner.
And it's not because even one of the producers or writers or researchers found it, but one of our computer switchers is a really smart guy. He just decided when he saw this article the other day to go actually read the study. And see, that's what you need to do.
So now he has his own
Axios,
show.
97,000 children test positive for COVID-19 as schools are reopening. Nobody's dying. Not one of them. All the stories they put out are fake kids. A lot of them don't even exist.
You know, uh-oh.
Wow. Why is mainstream news putting out fake kids or fake LGBT? Because It's a psyop. They're going for broke. Why not? You tell 1,000 lies, tell 1,000,000 lies.
That's not good.
All right. We went back from specific to vague. Uh-huh. Bad for everybody.
And escalation. Like, yeah. That's way worse in terms of the fake people.
Tons of kids. Yep. Not even real.
Uh-huh.
Never gotten in trouble for saying that kids aren't real before.
Yeah, you had to be real fucking careful, Alex. You're dancing on. And I'm not even talking about be careful because I think you'll get sued again.
No.
I mean, be careful because of the consequences that these types of narratives cause. You hurt innocent people. You want to do something that maligns like George W. Bush?
Right.
I think you should like always try as best as you can to deal with reality on reality's terms.
Sure.
But if you're going to do something that just victimizes George W. Bush.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm going to, you know, debunk things as best I can, but I'm not worried about it as much.
Yeah, yeah.
He's rich. He has security, all that stuff.
And I don't have a line as to what he deserves.
Individuals and private citizens that can be hurt by rhetoric and narratives like this.
Yeah.
Make it so much more abhorrent. And you can't allow yourself to act this way.
Yeah, I think what's fucked up is that my reaction to that is like, in the context of Alex, I know he won't experience any guilt for the actual people he harms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when talking about something like this, it's so hard to remember to focus on, like, he's not just going to get himself sued.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hurt people.
Yep. You can't do stuff like this. You just can't. You can't allow whatever you're doing to target people who are just people.
Yeah. Not least of which, just because I would prefer to deal with the consequences of my own actions and not a secondhand action. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So Alex gets into this paper, and like, this actually really worried me, the way he's thinking. The signs of like,
this paper is delicious.
That'd be less worrying.
Oh, okay.
This indicates to me like just a completely faulty grasp of reasoning. It was really scary.
Dr. Camshaw, please. So they say, according to this, why there's record numbers. And then it turns out 90%+ in the data from 49 states that report, one I've been reporting. Almost all of them are 17 and up to age 24. Look at the map. Yellow is 0 to 14. Only Florida and Utah report anybody testing positive that's under 14. Everywhere else is 17, 18, 19, 20, 24. They're counting people up to 24 in Alabama.
So there's absolutely no reason to suggest that just because a state counts people who are ages 0 to 17 as children, that most of the cases of COVID-19 in that cohort must be 17-year-olds, which is what he's suggesting.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing in this report that indicates that, and it's just something he's making up. Alex has now realized that only Alabama includes people up to age 24 in the definition, but he's still refusing to report that the page he's looking at explicitly says that Alabama data is excluded from the set.
Ride or die on that lie, Dan. This is the hill he will die on.
This is really weird to me because, okay, so there's like Florida has 0 to 14 is considered a kid, child in there.
Sure.
And then so a bunch of other states are 0 to 17.
Right.
And Alex is acting like when it's 0 to 17, that actually means 14 to 17. And Florida's the only state that's even counting 0
to
14.
That's what I thought he was saying.
That is what he's saying. That's not
scary.
Accurate at all.
That's bananas.
That is incredibly scary, because that's either thinking that your audience will accept that, which is terrifying, or just the cognition and the reasoning abilities that Alex has, that's the conclusion that he's arrived at, which is scary. And no matter what, this is really terrifying.
That's bananas. Mm-hmm. 0 to 17 obviously means only 17-year-olds.
Well,
they're just adding
0 to 17 means 14 to 17, because there's another option that's 0 to 14.
I understand.
These data sets from each state are independent of each other.
No, they're all
the colors on the map are to delineate which states use 0 to 14,
Dan,
0 to 16.
You're literally hurting my eyes right now.
I'm not. Alex is. That's terrifying.
This is painful.
Yeah.
You see me just ripping holes out of my eyes.
Yeah. Alex is playing games, and he's just making stuff up about this report, which is really dangerous. But again, the most dangerous thing that he's doing is throwing around these accusations about fake deaths. If he wants to genuinely talk about individual specific cases like that Twitter hoax account, then he has the right to do so. But to take that specific case and then extrapolate that out to yell about fake deaths of children like he has been doing here is unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's just completely unacceptable. And like on a human level,
yeah,
I don't expect this to ever happen or this message to get across. Cease and desist.
Yeah.
Like this, like you can do whatever you're going to do, Alex.
Yeah.
But this is crossing a line that you've crossed in the past, yeah, and you should know is not good. This is just not acceptable.
I'm making a citizens put you in a little box until you everybody else is safe from you.
Time out.
Yeah, no kidding.
So anyway, Laura Loomer is on the show now towards the end of the third hour.
Really?
Yeah. Roger Stone was going to be on, I think, in the fourth hour, but I turned it off after Laura Loomer because I was just like, I'm 36 years old. And
when the description begins with I'm 36, it's going to end with that I'm too old for this shit.
Yep. No, it's sort of that, but it's a slight variation. Yeah. It's like, I've only got so many years left. I'm still like, I don't have enough time that I can listen to Laura Loomer on Alex's show and be like, give me some more.
We got 15 before yeah, climate change destroys the world. I'm not going to waste them on this bullshit.
Yeah.
All right. I get you.
So Laura is talking here about how, you know, they're going to turn off your phones if
sure,
you're a conservative.
Get them out of here.
And then it's only going to escalate from there.
And if they're going to shut down your access to your internet service provider, what's going to stop them from shutting off your water and electricity? Oh, wait, they're actually already doing that in places like California, where you have Eric Garcetti, the mayor, telling people if you have a party or if you don't social distance, we're going to shut your electric and your water off. These are totalitarian communist practices that are being carried out by Democrats and their accomplices.
So you can already see here that Laura's moving the goalposts a little bit.
Oh, a little.
So the utility that pretty much everyone agrees that everyone should have access to is being online or like having a phone, you know, phone service.
Yes.
That's not the same thing as being entitled to use every single service that is online or you can do through a phone.
Come on.
If a particular company doesn't want to work with you due to your behavior being distasteful or dangerous, that's not the same thing as Comcast not allowing you to be online. Laura's blurring that line on purpose because the reality of her situation is a pretty weak grievance, and she really wants to be seen as the oppressed hero telling truth to power.
I have so many people to look up on IMDb, Dan!
Please keep in mind that less than a year ago, she was the co-host of a quote-unquote documentary with Jacob Wall, where they went to Minnesota to try and prove that Ilhan Omar was married to her brother. She's not a serious person, and anyone kicking her off anything is justified.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
As for that whole thing about LA Mayor Garcetti threatening to shut off water and power to houses that are throwing parties, he wasn't talking about houses that actually have like their people's homes. These are big houses that are either vacant or used for short-term rentals that people are renting out to throw big parties in because nightclubs are closed down. And this is a way to have your own little nightclub.
Yeah, we used to record porn, now we throw parties. We move on with our lives.
According to the LA Times, quote, beginning Friday night, if Los Angeles Police Department officers respond to and verify that a large party is occurring at a property, and there's evidence that the venue has repeatedly engaged in such behavior, the department will request that the city shut off water and power services within 48 hours. These parties are pretty out of control, even if you don't think about it just in terms of the pandemic. This Times article discusses a recent party on Mulholland Drive that caused a ton of neighbor complaints, many cars that were illegally parked needed to be towed, and it ultimately culminated in a fatal shooting at 12:45 a.m. when three people were shot, resulting in one death.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, I mean, you got to consider, it's a completely like unregulated,
uncontrolled environment. I get it, but that's just fucked.
People like Laura and Alex want to present this story as if LA is saying that if you have someone over for dinner, they're going to shut off your water because you're not submitting to their authority. When in reality, it's basically an attempt to crack down on people using Airbnb mansions to throw fairly dangerous parties. You can agree or disagree with that tactic, and I'm welcome to, you know, like, I think that you could make a pretty solid argument that that's not the best way for the city to go about it. I think you could make an argument that, hey, it's not a bad tactic, whatever. You could have arguments on either side.
Yeah.
But you do have an obligation to present the story as it actually exists, as opposed to some twisted paranoid fantasy about renegade communists, all this bullshit.
She doesn't get to do that. If you don't advocate for universal broadband access, then you don't get to do that. Because you're saying that this corporation can kick you off because you lost your job. You're saying this corporation can kick you off because you don't have any generational fucking wealth. You're saying this corporation can kick you off for any reason because you didn't pull yourself up enough by your fucking bootstraps. But you're saying that the corporation can't kick you off for any other reason. Like, that's fucked. That's fucked.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you 100%. I mean, like, I think ideally I do in terms of, like, yes, I do think that, you know, that you shouldn't be able, like, I agree with universal broadband access and that kind of thing. But I also don't think that it's being hypocritical to... I think under the current system that we live under, not paying your bill is different than being an asshole.
Ideally, you're saying that a corporation can control what is ultimately what you describe as a human right, regardless of what their reasoning is.
Well, I think that
it should be a public utility. I guess I don't know.
I think that, you know, like,
I don't think you should be able to kick people off heat or water either. Period.
But you can.
You can
if you don't pay your bill during months where it's not dangerous for them to turn it off.
Sure.
I agree with you idealistically, but based on the system that exists as it does now, I don't think that it's being hypocritical to say that it's different. To say you're a conservative or even like you're an Alex Jones type weirdo.
Sure.
You can't have a phone.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I think saying you haven't paid your phone bill, your phone is turned off. That's different.
I don't know. I just feel like that's a little bit like we're conditioned to accept that that's not a hypocrisy inherent in the entire fucking system.
I mean, maybe it is, but like without changing the entire system, there's no reason. Okay.
And now we're where we are.
Fine. Yes. I agree with you.
Yes, I know.
If the system were completely different.
I know.
Great.
I'm just coming at you. I'm coming at you with truth, Dan.
I don't know if that's truth.
I think it's truth.
I think it's
truth in
you. I think it's admirable idealism, but I don't think that it's, I mean, look, yes, if we could find a way to craft a society where no one could be thrown off of utilities because they can't afford them,
yeah.
I think that's a better state of affairs.
Yeah.
I think that's much preferable. but I do think, as it stands now, there's a massive difference between ideological and political denial of service for things.
I agree there is a difference between the two,
yeah,
without question.
And to be perfectly clear, we're talking about utilities, not companies.
Yes, no, I understand.
Talking about like lights, water,
yeah,
phone.
Yeah. Those can be turned off as bananas town. But anyways.
Yes. Okay. So Laura Loomer is really into Trump and basically is coming in with some strong arm talk about how he needs to win.
Of course.
Okay, the Democrats want absolute lawlessness in this country. And you're either going to vote for President Trump and have law and order and be safe, or you're going to vote for Joe Biden and you're going to have absolute anarchy, communism, no police, increased crime, open borders, and pretty much end stage America.
And by the way, if somebody said that 10 years ago, I'd say they were fear mongering. It's worse than you're saying.
You said that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He said that 10 years ago about Obama.
Okay,
fair.
Made a documentary about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and we've never heard this sort of talk surrounding dictators and stuff.
Nah, not our style.
No. Society falls apart. We go here. Sure. Law and order.
Right.
Over here.
Right. Do you want to be safe? Mm-hmm. Parentheses, straight white people. End parentheses.
So we have one last clip here, and this is just hilarious. Laura is giving her sales pitch for her congressional run.
Oh, here we go.
She has a proven track record.
I love it.
What are you going to do if you get in, and how do we support you?
Yeah, well, thank you, Alex. And, look, I'm a fighter, okay? I don't need to just say that I'm a fighter like other Republican candidates who make empty promises and then they get to D.C. and they don't actually fight, right?
No, you're fire-breathing.
Yeah, you've never made empty promises before.
You do what you say you're
going to
do.
Before.
Yeah, I have a proven record of taking on the most radical members of the Democrat Party, right? Whether it be Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, AOC. I put illegal aliens on Nancy Pelosi's lawn, handcuffed myself, called out Jack Dorsey in Congress, as you played earlier. And when I get to Congress, you know, there needs to be more accountability.
Sure. I love the idea of turning these into like positive things, like these publicity stunts that she's done.
That's a swing.
Yeah, like I've taken it to Ilhan Omar by joining Jacob Wall in an embarrassing documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
I have taken it to Jack Dorsey by embarrassingly handcuffing myself to
that one's not
one
heroic,
of the doors
heroic moment.
Of the Twitter building. I embarrassingly brought undocumented people to Nancy Pelosi's house.
I think she might be padding her CV just a little bit.
But it's what you have to do.
Of course.
When you're in this kind of a hustle, it's incumbent upon you to
mythologize.
Take these embarrassments and turn them into actually that was a great success.
Now I want to go back and see what actually happened with Hercules, man. What did he fucking do?
He was just like,
he did not clean up that shit at all. That was just his job. He was just working at a stable hand.
He was basically the Mr. Magoo of antiquity. And we've just turned those stories into something completely. But that's how oral tradition works, man.
No, totally.
You know, these stories that are told around the campfire.
If Laura Luma winds up finding the golden fleece in 1,000 years, I'm going to be real pissed, Dan.
I think what we should do. I mean, I studied Homeric Greek in college, so I've quite an association with Homer, and I actually also worked with one of my Greek professors was the head of a oral tradition journal. And so I ended up editing a lot of articles for the oral tradition journal. And I learned a lot about the world of oral tradition.
Sure, sure, sure.
I think that we should start our own oral tradition surrounding.
Fuck Laura Loomer.
No, not all just Laura Loomer, but around these people. Yeah. I think that we should start telling mythological stories about the various characters.
Right.
Maybe the Leo Lion Zagami.
Yes, yes.
The John Rappaport. These folks. We need to build a mythology out of them that we never write down.
All right.
We all tell each other over and over again with the hopes that when society does inevitably fall apart, these will be the stories that are told.
Do you realize that 6 months out of every year, Dan, we get summer because Laura Loomer turned and looked back at that door that she tried to handcuff herself to.
Absolutely.
That makes perfect
sense.
These
will be the stories that the Bertsolaritzas will be telling around the campfire in the Basque country.
I like it.
2,000 years from now. Maybe. So, Jordan, we're done here with this episode.
Yes, indeed we are.
But, look. The reality is that I'm seeing this trend of Alex is becoming a little bit increasingly comfortable talking about the idea of fake deaths in the COVID numbers stuff.
Right.
And that to me, I think, is really the most important thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And the trend that I think is the most troubling. There's a lot of instances of just like he slips. Like, he uses these specifics, and then you're able to be like, okay, this is what you're talking about. And you can see that this stuff is just total bullshit, and that's just his game. That's de rigueur. That's normal. But this introduction of that, again, into something that's so highly emotional and so important in people's lives right now is really dangerous and really troubling about the future.
Yeah, in retrospect, the idea that we even considered, like, because we considered how bad does it have to get before he switches up, you know? How many deaths? How many cases? What's the number?
Mm-hmm.
And what we should have been talking about is the real inevitability of it, which is,
how does one rationalize?
You say they're not even real.
Right.
That's the only way that he could really go. You know, it was just, this was where we were going to be.
Well, and like,
he can't stop himself.
But like I said on the last episode, when we first started touching on this stuff, there's such a massive difference between sort of clerical admin kind of cover up stuff.
Sure.
Where it's someone switching something, death in a spreadsheet.
Yeah,
fake people.
It's like cops cooking the books on this isn't a felony, this is a misdemeanor. Like that kind of thing. Yeah,
Versus something that would require active participants and cover up and and that kind of like it's such a different type of conspiracy that like
it's so much more dangerous.
Well, it's kind of the difference I would look at it between like weed and heroin.
Yeah.
It's like if you have a friend who's smoking a lot of weed, it's like
some heroin.
Maybe your life, maybe it's an indicator. I don't know. Maybe weed isn't even the best example these days.
It's legal shit.
I still think so. I still think people can abuse it sometimes. Not everybody, but I think a lot of people do.
That's a hot take.
Fine, let's go with alcohol.
I like alcohol.
Let's go with booze.
Okay.
You have a friend who's drinking a lot, and maybe it's a problem, maybe it's not, and, you know, no big deal. Maybe you don't need to intervene immediately until things get really out of control.
Yeah.
You got someone you know doing heroin, you need to get them help.
It's
got to
be done.
And I think that Alex is, this type of narrative is heroin for him. Like
this is the hard drug that you're not going to escape.
And maybe it won't kill you the first time you do it. Maybe it won't kill you the second or third or fourth, but it will kill you.
Yeah, it's the 14th time.
This is the kind of narrative that will hurt people.
Yeah.
This can't, like, you just, it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope that it doesn't progress any further because I don't want to watch this happen again.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, we'll be back.
God, isn't that the story of 2020? I'm sick of watching this happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight and at GoToBedJordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's Al Sharon. And if you could please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus. I am a blue state secessionist.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.